guy, Chris Peterson, UALR Athletic Director, joining us now on the Revolution Hotline. Good morning, Mr. Peterson.
Good morning, Mr. Acree.
Well, I know you got your pipes warmed up this morning for the warm-up act, also known as the show with no name, so I figured maybe
exactly.
We'd step into the main event, also known as The Zone.
Well, I was a little shaky with the beat the Baz. I was over.
That was the worst beat the Baz ever, and not just because of you. Baz was not very good. It was rough.
Well, you know, but in my defense, I spent my youth in a library and a church, so, you know, listening to rock and roll was not part of my deal.
Yeah,
know?
I guess if he had done a deal, you know, trying to name titles of Dickens books or
exactly,
C.S. Lewis, maybe you're more of a C.S. Lewis guy, Coach, maybe. But
exactly, is Bradley
Screw Tape
with
letters?
You?
What's you guys that? Talking about the Screw Tape letters?
You mean your color analyst, Patrick Bradley?
You mean
exactly.
your Thanksgiving buddy, old pal, old buddy? Hey, listen, I didn't fall asleep on the dog, right? You can confirm that.
He did not. He actually was awake the whole time. Got him home safe and sound. It was all good.
It's beautiful.
I might smoke the best turkey going, huh, Pat?
Oh my God!
Okay with that?
You got a talent. You know what? You make the best steak in the city too, Coach.
Hey, whoa!
Make the best steak in the city.
This is absolute crap right here. Coach has been talking about cooking me a steak for 5 years. I haven't seen steak one.
Oh, he's the best.
Well,
in the city.
Yeah, I've heard.
Pat, I don't know. There might be a problem with that with Mr. Acree. I can't quite understand that.
Well, here's my deal. Pat just got himself uninvited to my house because I used to make him a pretty mean steak. Now he's complaining.
Well, I thought there was going to be a competition.
Okay, let's ask this, though. Who makes the best manicotti in the city?
Ooh. Right now, you, although I haven't tried Coach's.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Coach,
yeah.
I sent my boy home with a tray of manicotti and some Graziano sausage imported all the way from good old Des Moines, south side of Des Moines, Iowa.
Oh, not but the best sausages over there.
Let's talk business.
My.
Let's talk business, because obviously I'm not getting any steak anytime soon, although Tracy keeps calling to invite me and Christy over, but obviously you keep putting the hammer down.
Yeah, your invitation gets lost in the mail, I understand.
Yeah, that's cool. Look, I mean, it's not like I couldn't walk to your house or anything. I mean, it's, you know, couldn't be more convenient, but that's fine. Don't sweat it. Okay, look, when you're in a coaching search and you've hired from within your own program and you've hired from outside your program, I guess from outside your program. Talk about the process, you know, what kinds of things you look at as far as building a candidate list. What kinds of guys or gals do you talk to in trying to develop that? How much do you lean on the money folks to determine what kind of salary you're going to set? How does all that work?
Well, you know, first and foremost, it depends on, you know, what the search is. And speaking, you know, whether it's a huge revenue sport compared to an Olympic sport. Example, right now I'm conducting a search to hire a women's soccer coach.
That's it.
I'm a one-man committee, everything has gone through University Human Resources. We've applied, have done everything we're supposed to do according to law, but at the same time, I make my phone calls, I do the phone interviews, I set up what I need to set up, and also then, you know, you really don't look at references when you have a national search like that as much as looking at people that might know Justin Acree, might know Pat Bradley, that you personally know,
right,
that can really tell you their relationship, their knowledge of them, their association with them, their compliance issues, their development issues, what kind of character we're dealing with. Now, when you're in, and that's my situation with, say, an Olympic sport coach. You're dealing with a revenue coach, you know, such as football, such as men's basketball, such as women's basketball. There will be some sense of a relationship, of course, with people that are major stakeholders in your program, absolutely. But at the same time, you know, and I guarantee you, Jeff is doing a great job. Contrary to what some people might think, and it's not happening as quick as they want, Jeff is doing a thorough job. I guarantee he's doing a great job. And, you know, as everybody wants to win a press conference, when you hire, you know, the bottom line is hiring the right person that fits your specific situation. And, you know, as an outsider looking at it, you see, I think where Jeff has and should have a real concern with whoever he hires, having strong roots in the ability to recruit Texas, you know, is a, and might not necessarily be a sitting head coach. I mean, let's look at a couple Kellys, for example. Brian Kelly at Notre Dame, what, he came from Grand Valley State to, what, was he at Cincinnati before he got the Notre Dame job? I'm not sure. He was at a mid-major.
Right.
Let's look at Chip Kelly, the offensive genius that he supposedly is, and I think he is, comes as an offensive coordinator from New Hampshire, and Mike Bellotti hires him on the West Coast to Oregon, and look where that's gone. I mean,
and you look at Jill Kelly, and she almost single-handedly brought down a general. So, I mean, Kelly's a very powerful group. There's no question.
Well, and you just look at all the successful coordinators that have become head coaches. I mean, you hire who fits what your specific needs are at the time, and who you feel really fits your program. You know, and it could be a coordinator, it could be a sitting head coach, and you know, as much as you want to win the press conference, you know, the bottom line is the person you hire 3 years from now, you're happy.
Well, what was the first year you moved from being a coach into an administrative role in your career?
1982, I believe.
Talk to me about over the last 30 years, how much media coverage, blogs, you know, message boards, all that stuff has impacted the way coaching searches are handled from 30 years ago to what it looks like today.
Oh, it's a different world. You know, I can just go back from the coaching side of it, and we were laughing. I was talking to an old coaching buddy of mine recently. When I first got into coaching as a graduate assistant on the offensive side of the ball, when you cut game tape, game film, it was film then, not tape, it's film. Mm-hmm. You and the defensive graduate assistant, you get the offensive reel and the defensive reel, and you would cut and splice. You know, I started where you didn't have the money to have two cameras. So you had one reel of film that had offense, defense, and kicking game on it. And you would cut play by play, and you would hang them on the wall, and then you would splice them back together. You'd splice sequentially all the offensive plays, all the defensive plays, and all the kicking. You know, so you had a offensive reel, a defensive reel, and a kicking reel. And you would have an afternoon ball game, the film would get processed, get back in the football office, and you and the other GA would roll in to the football office 10:30, 11 o'clock game night, and you'd have to have all that film put back together, spliced, and when the offensive coordinators came in and the defensive coordinator came in Sunday morning, the head coach, they all three better be in order, and they all three better be in great shape. You know,
come a long way.
And you had to have three reels of film. Now, you got your coach. For example, Joe Foley can hop on a bus, okay, after a basketball game, and he can put it in his laptop, and he can punch in there, and it'll have offensive possessions, defensive possessions, out of bounds, you know, out of bounds plays. I mean, it has software that has broken everything down, and at the touch of a finger, it's done. What would take us, you know, 3 hours of manual labor is done instantly. And so that part of the teaching part of it, the coaching part of it, is a whole different world. The part of doing, you know, background checks and character checks and things like that. I mean, it were phone calls. You know, it's hours and hours and end of tracking down who you know. And athletics is like a lot of things. It's like the business world. It's a fraternity of people. So if you've been coaching for a while, there's not, you know, from coast to coast, you know, there's nobody that if you've been in a profession, somebody doesn't know you, that you don't know them, that you can't pick up the phone and say, hey, Justin, you know, tell me about Pat. You know, really, what kind of guy is he? What do you like on the field?
He's an awesome guy, Coach.
I'm ready to coach women's soccer. That's all I know.
Hey, Coach, we only got a few minutes left here. We got to take another break before the top of the hour. But I want to ask you about, there was a big story today about Middle Tennessee and Florida Atlantic going to Conference USA. And really, especially like a Middle Tennessee, I mean, that's a pretty, you know, I would think of somewhat of a glaring loss from a basketball standpoint. I know Coach Shields and Coach Davis are pretty good buddies. And, I mean, that's a staple of the Sun Belt. It's crazy. But, I mean, the more, you know, it seems like the more we talk about it, the more things are changing around the country. What's the status? I mean, how concerned are you about the changes being made? What do you hope to see here in the near future?
Well, first and foremost, Chris Massaro called me yesterday, the AD at Middle, at lunch, and we had a nice conversation. I am thrilled for Chris. At Middle Tennessee and Dr. McPhee, they're really great people. It's a class program. yes, a couple of the best basketball games I've ever seen in my life have been Middle Tennessee's women versus ULR Trojan women, okay?
Oh, yeah.
You know, Steve Shields and Kermit Davis's rivalries are, and they're great friends, and Kermit has ties to Arkansas. His wife's from, you know, from Arkansas, and you know, we plan on, as our discussion yesterday, we plan on continuing to play, but in a non-conference level. You know, we want to keep Middle Tennessee, you know, in our mix as far as how we schedule games. FAU, not a surprise. You know, you got FIU that you've taken in Conference USA. It's a natural, as you look at a travel partner for volleyball, for men's and women's basketball, for baseball, for things like that. If mm-hmm. you're going down to South Florida once, you might as well go down there and, you know, and play two games. So that was kind of a no-brainer. The question you have, as an athletic director right now, as a conference commissioner, is the Big East, is Conference USA, is Atlantic Coast, are they looking at going to 16 teams? Are they going to be 14 teams? Are they going to be 12 teams? And how many football-playing schools do you want as a conference commissioner? 8 is a real fragile number, because you have to have a minimum of 8 to keep your seat at the table when you talk about the BCS revenue sharing. So, as a league, we will look, I'm sure, to get back to picking up, 2 other football schools. And, if it stops at 12, I'm not sure, it could go to 14. You know, there's plenty of people regionally that fit. And then the next question is the Big East going to continue to try to rob Conference USA? Is Conference USA going to try to rob the Sun Belt? I mean, the bottom line is the Sun Belt versus Conference USA football this year, Sun Belt 5, Conference USA 3, okay? The 3 losses to Conference USA were losses that came from North Texas and FIU. So virtually, if it was a year from now and they were in Conference USA, the Sun Belt football would have been undefeated against Conference USA football. So
yeah.
As far as it might look better in USA Today, but as far as the power of college football, Sun Belt's pretty darn strong. And you can match them up against Big East, Conference USA. You know, saw what Monroe did this year with a couple SEC opponents.
Yeah.
You know, you saw Middle Tennessee go in the Georgia Tech and beat them by 21. I mean, there's nothing to be ashamed about. You know, Western Kentucky is, you know, Pop Kentucky at Kentucky. I mean,
right.
Sun Belt football is very, very good, as Sun Belt athletics is top to bottom. So the change will, it kind of goes from the top down, unfortunately. But that's the way of the world. If the Big 12, or the Pac-10, I should say, decides they want to go to 16, that'll affect everybody else. And,
yeah.
You know, the rumors were years ago that there was going to be these super conferences and all be at about 16. I'm not sure that's where it's going to end up, but if it is, then there'll still be, you know, there'll still be considerable movement left.
Coach, we are up against it, unfortunately, but doubleheader tonight at the Jack Stevens Center, 5:15 for the women versus Troy, the men at 7:30. Great, great matchup tonight over at the Jack Stevens Center. 2 great basketball teams playing, so get over there and check it out. UALR has never lost in women's basketball to Troy, 8-0 all time. And men with a slight edge over Troy, too, trying to build on that tonight. Coach, appreciate you coming on. Thanks for the insight, and catch you over at the arena tonight.
Love it, guys. Thank you very, very
right,
much, and look forward to seeing everybody this evening.
Without a doubt. Thank you very much. Chris Peterson, the athletic director at UALR, always insightful. And he's been to a lot of, you know, good programs over the years, including Nebraska. So it's a guy who certainly knows what he's talking about. Another guy who does, Crazy Mike. He's open for business right now, opens at 10 o'clock every day. Lunch or dinner, Crazy Mike has you covered. Tonight, if I was Pat Bradley and my mother was in town, I'd take her to eat all-you-can-eat wings at Crazy Mike's Shrimp and Wings. Mom's not in the mood? Fine, I'll eat the wings.
Going to UALR.